Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right. How about a rant? Or two? Or three? Because we're behind on the rants.
I do that sometimes, yes, to everyone's chagrin. What? Let me just double check something. What day is this? This is Thursday. Okay, making sure I'm not forgetting anybody, because I'm delighted to have all open time. Sometimes I book more guests than I want because there's stuff I want to get to you information wise, and then I feel badly we don't have that much whatever.
Hi, Todd. Now listen. Monday, May 22nd, the World Health Organization is getting together, and it's being run by a Chinese man. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not trying racist, but if we go with one world health period, mm-hmm. we're in trouble. That means you might as well send your elderly to the death camps. It's like that stuff doesn't work. It's almost like communism. So... for everybody, say your prayers. Later.
There is this feeling of inevitability about communism. You know, that's what the Democrats now are pushing us into, and what the one world order idea is. Because the idea is the world are more sophisticated. How do you control things like a plague? How do you respond if you don't create things? That's the kind of thing they look at, the problem solvers, the heady people who are well-educated, sophisticated. They say, well, there's no other way to be prepared. How do we head off world war? But by the brilliant international management and the oppressiveness that international management represents for Russia. How do you head off world wars if not for having the world work together? And I'm not against the world working together, but the idea that we give up the sovereignty of our country, no, we can't do that. It's better to die from the plague than to die from the Democrats.
On Monday, oil was trading at $111 a barrel for crude. Today, Thursday, it's trading at $107. I guess that would have been yesterday. Market's not open yet. What's wrong with the math? Why are the prices going up? Can anybody answer that for me?
You mean because of that little move downward, that should be reflected in the Thursday prices at the gas pump or with the oil delivery? There is processing and stuff in between coming out of the ground and all that.
Why in the world should a family that works have to compete with a family that receives government assistance for baby formula?
Well, that's only one part of it. Compete. How about pay for it?
That's where the dissension comes in, and the government is the fuel. Goodbye.
He sounds mad, and I understand. Because he's looking to the politics and saying, okay, average people making not so much more than minimum wage, average folk are paying these incredible taxes for the privilege of living in the state of Connecticut. Where's the return on investment? No, we have to pay for the favored classes in the election rigging scheme of the left to be able to get a free ride. It's the average middle-class person who pays for big government. That is the rule of thumb of economists, and that is the rule of thumb of living in Connecticut, that your job, according to the CT Dems who control everything, is that you pay for their favored voters to be loyal Democrats. That's how it rolls.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Ned Lamont here, the governor, run for re-election. Don't forget to vote for me. Yeah. And I think kids should be able to do what they want to do. Yeah, that's what I always did. I always did whatever I wanted to do. I got that $26 million, $27 million coming in for the last few years. Yeah, I'm gonna. I'm just like you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just like you. And make sure you pay your taxes, and make sure you stay indoors for the summertime, because it looks like coronavirus is coming back. We might have to get some 7-4 testing going maybe for the state of Connecticut, because, you know, it's very important. And all right, everybody, have a good afternoon, and don't forget to vote for me, Ned Lamont. Yeah, I'm your governor.
I love that character, because that epitomizes my perception of Ned. That's who the man is, a sniveling buffoon who learned one thing in his super privileged life, and that was how to create false impressions. And that made him perfect. Well, that skill combined with his great wealth so he could pay for his own election, that made him the perfect one to be anointed by the Democrats, because they didn't want to have to deal with it. They didn't have a good candidate, and they didn't think they were going to win. So sure, Ned, you do it.
My views are now getting myopic when I try to come up with a topic. Instead of broad-based, I want things replaced with something that is microscopic.
Yes. Well, there's a good topic. Keep after that one. Look at do you get the newspaper? If you look at the newspaper, VP says rule of law is strained. This is one of the games they play. They tell you about the experience you're suffering from as if they lament it, and you're suffering from it because they cause it. The rule of law is strained because there are no laws except that the powerful can do whatever they want, and you just get weaker. How about doing a poem about that one? How about a poem about Blumenthal fighting for domestic violence survivors by proposing a piece of legislation or advocating for it? I don't even know if he proposed it. And that's at the top of the Hartford Current. Senator fights. Where is the fight? What fight did he engage in? Where is the bruise, the cut, the blood that was spilled by Blumenthal in his great effort to support legislation? Is supporting legislation that inspiring, an act requiring such courage that Blumenthal gets the top story across the whole banner of the Hartford Courant? Senator fights for domestic violence survivors. Are you serious? How about mocking these people for being the biggest joke you've ever seen? How about this horrible, it's too early, but track this, the stabbing story of the Fairfield prep kid. I want to find out what that story is really all about. If anyone knows, please call in, because that's, you know, it's tragic. But we don't know what the details are, and it will be interesting to find out how it came to pass. How did it come to pass? Hi, who's this here on the air?
Hello, Todd?
Yes.
Oh, I was waiting.
Is that Paul?
I was waiting for the screener.
Is that Paul? Of course you were. Don't tell me the obvious. Tell me something I don't know about your call.
Well, let me just say this. I saw the Ned Lamont commercial, and I was, like, ready to get sick, okay?
Well, you mean he brought his friends down to tell stories about him being a nice person and a capable governor?
Yeah, the man on the street people, and it all looked so glamorous, and he looked like he was all in and 10 bags of donuts. With the posturing, and I talked about this to you a year ago, Todd. And what really got me was a couple of the men, a couple on the street, an older couple. He did such a great job with COVID. In his own backyard, and as you know, I'm a state worker. In his own backyard, where I work, half the staff came down with COVID. Four of my coworkers died of COVID-19 because of the stupidity of the Lamont administration. And I went through this a year ago, Todd. There should have been testing every week like there was in the nursing homes and other health facilities, but there wasn't. And then I start down, they bring in the testing, but it's too late. We got our vaccines too late. You know, and I'm just looking at this. Oh, the self-congratulations about the COVID. All the nursing home deaths.
That's the ruse. That's the ruse.
Unbelievable.
The game is to plant the seeds while you're doing it. You know, tell stories. Oh, we're doing the best at this, and we're the best at that, and we're just trying to keep you safe. We're trying to keep you safe.
Well, he didn't keep us, his workers, his own workers, safe in his own backyard. And I just get disgusted.
What did he not do for you, Paul?
Well, as I said, Todd, there should have been weekly testing in our
facility. He didn't have the tests, and he didn't own any companies that could produce them for him.
Oh, God. The excuses. Now, the vaccines. We should have got our vaccines much earlier than we did. They were out for 3 months. My best friend died of COVID-19. If we would have got the vaccines earlier, he never would have died.
I forget the timeline. They came out in December? Is that when they came out of 2021?
Oh, no. Actually, it was, when was it? No, that came out in November. And my friend died, Artie died the end of December, December 29th. Now, if he had gotten his vaccine, he would probably still be with us. One of the greatest workers I've ever worked with. In my entire life, and he lost his life because of the terrible management of the state of Connecticut. I don't want to hear about how Ned Lamont has managed COVID great. It's crap. And all the deaths in the nursing homes, but, you know, it hit me hard, and it hit all of us hard. And, you know, Todd, I was thinking, why am I not hearing any news about this? Half the staff in it's a big institution, was sick with COVID. And I'm not hearing
this is the thing. They're all in the bag of the powerful. Thank you, Paul, for that impassioned call. We needed a little juicing on this, you know, and you got us juiced up. Thank you. 860-522-9842. Now, Paul is looking at things correctly. That is that, first of all, believe nothing that you hear from people who are powerful. And look at the obvious truth. All these things are out there for you to see. The truth is there for you to see. The trouble is there's one flow of information with regard to how government is going, and that is people like Ned Lamont, who have no incentive to give you any accurate perception of how things are going. Has he had any heart-to-hearts with you, the governor, about why he's being sued by the former black head of his Department of Public Health, who he fired a couple months into the administration, and her allegation is that there was abusive behavior and that they didn't want her in the job because she was black? Like, how can one of your fellow citizens be fired from a job? And by the way, Ned brags about having lots of those people, minorities, in positions of in his administration. But he says it like that's a cover story that protects him from all wrongdoing. And what Renee Coleman Mitchell says, the former head of Department of Public Health, is that she was put out to pasture while she was in the job in favor of Josh, who didn't know anything about public health, and that he was abusive to her. And she's filing suit to press that case. Does that sound like a good governor, a kind, sweet, lovable man who just wants to keep you safe?
Hello, Todd. John here. It's May 18th, and I'm sick and tired.
I don't blame you for being sick and tired. We all feel that way.
Our Depression-era babies.
What?
They suffered. Like,
hang on, let's try that again.
About a living wage.
Oh, he's sick and tired. He's sick and tired of hearing about a living wage. Listen.
And I am sick and tired of listening to about a living wage. My parents are Depression era babies. They suffered like you would not believe. And once the World War II was over and my pop served and things got a little better, we were always told it's not how much you make, it's how much you keep. On payday, you pay yourself first because you are the one that worked. You pay yourself first. Those monies, and because you are a bill, those monies don't go to nails,
listen,
eyebrows,
to this. This is great.
Haircuts, jewelry, tattoos, or anything else. That money you save, whether it be a nickel, a dime, a quarter.
This is a great rant. What John's saying is you pay yourself first. You put the money in the bank. That's your piggy bank. That's your payday. That's where the money goes. You don't frivolously go out and spend it. That was the old days. We need people like John to remind us of what the values were that made America great. 860-522-9842.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Listen to the podcast on WTIC.com/podcast.
So much wisdom in the rants, because the rants are, you know, just people saying what they think, and people think, well, you do, we do. All these preconceived notions about education that people have, like Paul is just so hung up on, if you went to a good school or not. But good schools, the import of those are exaggerated, in my humble opinion. 860-522-9842.
And save.
Oh, are you still
That's
talking?
What pay yourself first means. What is a living wage? $100 an hour, $50 an hour, $25, Who knows what it is?
I take it back,
but
John.
The people who suffered through the Depression know exactly what it is. Not how much you make,
but how much you keep.
Save.
Yes.
And save doesn't mean nails, hairdos.
It means going out for dinner.
Tattoos.
At an expensive restaurant.
Vacations. What you save goes for emergencies or whatever.
Yes. Now, one thing, when you're listening to a rant from John, you've got to pay attention to his wife in the background because she's the Greek chorus there.
And save doesn't mean nails, hairdos, tattoos, vacations. What you save goes for emergencies or whatever.
That's right.
You have to save.
Yes.
You have to tighten your belt in any economy from the 30s, 40s, 50s.
All right, John.
90s, 80s.
All right, now
whatever.
You're grandstanding. We got it.
A quarter,
we
a
got
dollar,
it.
$5, $10. That money goes into your savings account.
John, calm down.
Not to be touched.
Point made. We got it. All right, can we
not
move on?
Not for any spending whatsoever. Oh. It's your savings account.
Done?
Thank you very much.
Hi, Todd. So your intern...
I think I... cut him off in some moment of impatience there. I apologize, John, for the unclean ending.
Hi, Todd. So your intern, Anthony, he seems to be suffering from what they call white knight syndrome.
Intern.
This is why I got distracted with John, because this wonderful rant came in right after.
Intern.
I like that name for you a lot.
That is so inaccurate.
Why do you think he called you that?
I don't know, some superiority complex that you conservatives have.
Why do you think being an intern is bad? Like it's beneath you to be an intern?
It is beneath me.
Really?
I'm above that. I'm an executive producer.
Yeah, well, you know why they give you those big titles? The bigger the title, the smaller the paycheck.
Welcome to radio.
Huh? Welcome to the world. When I was in high school, the janitors were all excited one year because they got a new title. They got a little raise and a big new title. What did they call them? The
sanitation experts, maybe, or something like
that's
that.
That's it? Yeah. So almost it. So they were custodians, and they got made sanitary engineers. Isn't that beautiful?
It's like at Subway, the people who make the sandwiches are sandwich artists.
Well, that's cool. They're trying to riff off of the barista idea, you know, being a sandinista. That would be, well, I know it's not the same thing.
Hi, Todd.
Hi.
So your intern, Anthony, he seems to be suffering from what they call white knight syndrome. He thinks that women need him to defend them. Young women today most certainly do not need somebody like Anthony defending them, and they resent it. I've raised three daughters, and if he tries to defend them the way he does with just women in general, they basically kick him in the butt. Thank you.
All right, two things.
Did
one,
you see what
one,
time it is?
Oh, my gosh. He's still there. He's still there.
Yeah? Does he have time, Mark?
I have a response. You're going to have to play that
Do
again.
Do you have time, Mark?
Yeah, you can go ahead. Go ahead and respond, Anthony.
Okay,
I got plenty of time.
Okay, two things. One, oh, here we go.
Uh-oh.
Don't worry about the phone. Just do it. No, do your thing. Don't worry about the phone.
One thing. Okay, I have a national show, so I'm far from an intern, okay?
That's true.
I have a higher tenure than Todd and Tom. Combined, okay. And two, send your daughters that you raised here. I'm not scared, okay. If you're so threatening, send them here, okay. My gosh, these people, what's wrong with them? But okay,
you
now we have traffic.
A national show. You're using that as a credential.
Mark, I'm not an intern.
Mark has a national traffic report.
Yeah.
Cars everywhere.
What if they called him an intern? I'd stick up for him too.
We're going to the BPS Lawyers Traffic Center. Mark Christopher.
I'm the oldest intern on the planet. If I'm an intern, they're going to go, wait, we got to get rid of this guy. He's too old to be an intern.
Now, back to the Todd Feinberg Show, live from the NJ Diet Studios on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Is that one of those... strange mixes that the Beatles put out?
It's a backing track.
You know, the backing track. Well, the whole thing is a backing track with vocals on it. So if you... But they're altering it in some way. The bass is a little more up front. I don't know. Maybe they... Maybe when they re...
I mean, things when they're post-production, yeah, they adjust it.
It's just fun to hear it that way. Anyway, Len Susio is here. Also fun to hear. Hi, Len. Wait a sec.
Bumper music.
Start over again. Sorry, start over. You weren't on the air yet.
Sure. Okay. That, great bumper music for our topic today. I mean, Day Tripper. It sounded like Day Tripper to me from the Beatles way back when.
Yeah, that you're exactly right. Your memory does not trick you on this one. But what's our topic today?
Well, we're going to talk about energy, electricity costs, renewable energy in particular.
What's to talk about? My understanding is that renewable energy is the only way to go. We have to get out of the fossil fuel-generated energy as quickly as possible. And nevertheless, prices are going down, as I understand. Is that right?
Well, in the dream world of some green energy people, potentially. But the real world is a different story. Earlier this week, there was an article which I shared with you that was published in the Wall Street Journal about electricity shortages and warnings of those shortages growing all over the United States. And because of this, a number of things, but one of which, a major part of which, is this transition from gas and nuclear to renewable energy, which is intermittent energy. It's not always there. And effectively, anyone who's advocating for renewable energy is betting our cost of energy and our standard of living on the weather.
Well, wait a sec. Renewable energy, does that include nuclear? Because that's not a greenhouse gas issue.
No, it does not.
It does not. Does it include the hydro stuff?
Hydro would be in with renewable
energy.
Okay,
so that doesn't go away, does it? That's steady. Steady flow.
No, but we don't have much of it here, and the attempts to build a connection to the hydroelectric electricity coming from
Canada
has been inhibited by litigation. For the power line.
Are you saying we're not connected to the beautiful hydroelectricity flowing out of Canada to all the New England states? I thought.
Well, that was the game plan, but we don't have it here in Connecticut. We've got we've got gas and coal fired, which are pretty much out of business now. The coal is pretty
so
much
are,
they,
are
now.
You telling the truth, Len? I have to double check here. They are actually cutting down on the amount of electricity that is generated the old-fashioned way so that new forms of energy, which are supposedly better, solar and wind, can pick up the slack. Why do they need to force that issue? Why wouldn't the market take care of that by itself? Obviously, it must be much cheaper to get energy from the sun or from the wind because nobody's charging for those, right?
Well, that's true in terms of once the facilities are constructed. But the problem is they're not reliable sources of energy because they're what the industry calls intermittent. The wind isn't always blowing. Mm-hmm. The sun doesn't shine at night on this side of the world anyways. And so what the problem is that they're not there and a reliable basis. They're constantly subject to things that we don't control. We don't control day and night. We don't control the weather itself.
But so we elect government to make policy that is wise. And that would mean that if you're looking to transition to green energy and there you don't have a way to store it so that you can use it when you need it instead of when it happens to be generated, then you still need all of the fossil fuel generative ability, it would seem to me. Is that wrong?
That's correct. Plus nuclear, if it's available as well.
And are they cutting those? Are they artificially standing in the way of those being produced? Are they sending out the gas powered plant police to shut them down?
Well, what they're doing is they're prohibiting pretty much the construction of new facilities to replace the old facilities as they're being phased out. And we have this deal in Connecticut with regarding the Millstone nuclear plant, whereby there's a contract between the state of Connecticut that guaranteed them their rate for 10 years. But basically, after that, the operator of Millstone has threatened to shut it down because they can't make enough money.
Yeah, but weren't they floating recently an arrangement by which they would continue to stay open?
Yes, and that is really part of what I wanted to discuss today, because it's received so little publicity, and it's really important news in terms of Connecticut's cost and availability of electricity. The governor did, there's been a law passed with very little fanfare, surprisingly, because it's so important, basically, which said Connecticut's got a moratorium. You cannot build any new nuclear plants in Connecticut unless and until the storage of that waste generated by those plants is resolved. And that's been delayed for decades. So what happened was somebody got real, and I think it was the commissioner of the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection. They acknowledged in a paper they produced last year that it's going to be impossible to meet the zero carbon emissions goals of the governor without continuing to have nuclear energy here in Connecticut, yet nuclear energy is scheduled to phase out. So somebody pushed for, I know I talked to a few people, but somebody pushed for working out a deal with Dominion Industry Energy, which operates mm-hmm. the Millstone plant. And what they did was they gave them an exemption from the moratorium. Insofar as they want to build new nuclear facilities on that site, they can do so now. And that is very, very big news, because nuclear is the only way you're going to be able to attain their zero carbon emissions goal that they want to have by 2040. They can't do it and have reliable, affordable electricity that's coming just solely from wind and solar. So this is really big news. I'm surprised that the green folks didn't go bananas about this to some extent, because they seem to be also opposed to nuclear power, which is carbon free generated electricity.
That's left over from the 70s, though, don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, they have Chernobyl in their mind, and they've got Three Mile Island, of course, which happened way back in the
70s. I think it's more of a emotional thing. Like, they, you know, they used to protest those power plants, those nuclear power plants, and they feel some kinship to the idea of those being shut down. Like, it's like the anti-war protesters from the 60s are still looking for wars to be horrified by.
Yeah, it's more emotional, like you said, I think, rather than based on facts. But, I mean, think about it, Todd. This is really, it's common sense. You've got a nuclear facility there already. So if you want to build a new nuclear facility that would be more safe, because it's 50 years after the technology that was used to build the current plant, and it's going to be more efficient. And think about it, it preserves 1,500 to 1,600 high-paying jobs here in Connecticut, mm-hmm. which would be scheduled to be phased out if the plant were to be closed in another 10 or 12 years. So basically, this is an example of every once in a while, the legislature and politicians do get it right. And this is a win-win-win for everybody. Now, the only thing I'm concerned about is they gave Dominion the right, the exemption to build a facility there. The question is, will Dominion take advantage of it? They responded by saying they were interested, but they were not committal about it. So,
yeah, but why would they not want to? I mean, they would want to have as much leverage. They've already demonstrated their ability to negotiate mm-hmm. the state government of Connecticut under the table when it comes to the terms they're willing to do business at. So why wouldn't they play hard to get?
Well, that's exactly what I think is going on, Todd. I think they are playing hard to get. I mean, think about it. If they jumped up in their seats and started clapping, saying, this is wonderful, we're going to take advantage of it. Well, what they're doing is they're playing it cool. I think it's part of a negotiating strategy, which is kind of similar to what they did a couple of years ago when they got the 10-year contract with the state of Connecticut at roughly about 5 cents per kilowatt hour. So it's really, I think it's part of their game plan in terms of what they're going to get.
At the same time, they've already conceded that would be of interest. So we have a whole new framework moving forward where the anti-energy people on the left are caving in and saying we need nukes. That's wonderful. And the nuclear power producer in the state is saying, as long as you continue to pay us way more than value, we'll are doing that.
Yes. Well, again, we've got to take it to the second base. We're on first base now. We got to get the second base and get the Millstone.
Can we do that in a minute?
Well, no, we can't, unfortunately. But that's one of those things I want you and your audience to be aware of. This is big news.
Yeah.
And because Connecticut's future in terms of energy was pretty dire, both in terms of its cost and its reliability. This opens the door to a realistic possibility that we could have maybe zero carbon emissions energy that's still reliable and affordable. It's a topic that should be delved into in much greater depth, maybe in our next conversation.
Well, that sounds good. And how many years quickly would it take maybe to achieve this new power plant on the old site?
Well, again, building a nuclear plant doesn't occur,
is that like 20 years?
I think it's going to be at least 10 to 12 years minimum is what I've been told by people in the industry because of the
All right, make that 25 then.
Yeah.
Because they have to get rid of the old one. They have to go regulatory stuff. All right, Len Suzio, you were sparkling today. Yes,
well,
quickly.
Thank you very much. This will be built, I predict, and operational by 2040, which is just in time to save the state.
Ah, good for my 40th birthday. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you, Len.
All right. Have a great one. And keep that production manager, your engineer, your chief engineer.
We call him the senior intern. That's his new.
Oh, geez, don't do that.
Senior intern. Thank you, Len. 860-522-9842.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.